More rain in the forecast. I'm Chris Foster, Fox News. There's a risk of more flash flooding today in central Texas, 3 days after flooding that's killed dozens of people.
Search teams are still hoping to find people who survived the raging Guadalupe River in Kerr County, Texas, outside San Antonio. Dozens remain unaccounted for, though at least 82 people are now confirmed dead, including 27 kids and counselors from Camp Mystic, a well-known Christian girls' sleepaway camp located along the river. More than 850 people have been rescued so far, including some who climbed trees to stay above the rising river. The National Weather Service says more than a foot of rain fell in an area that usually sees only about 30 inches of rain a year, causing the Guadalupe River to swell more than 26 feet in less than an hour. Eben Brown, Fox News.
And a White House spokesperson calls suggestions that National Weather Service funding cuts contributed to this tragedy shameful and disgusting. A man with a rifle opened fire on Border Patrol agents at a facility in McAllen, Texas this morning, lying in wait for an ambush, Fox is told, hitting the facility but no agents before being shot and killed by agents and local police. In about an hour, President Trump says letters start going out to trading partners announcing tariff rates, with plans for them now to go into effect on August 1st. President Trump meets with Israel's Prime Minister Netanyahu at the White House today to talk about ending the war with Hamas in Gaza.
Talks resumed in Qatar yesterday, but there are still divisions over who would govern post-war Gaza. Israel staunchly opposes Hamas holding any role, but also reportedly opposes the involvement of the Palestinian Authority, preferring instead for Arab countries to control Gaza and provide security alongside unaffiliated Palestinian leaders.
Fox's Jackie Heinrich at the White House. Russia's former transport minister is reported to have killed himself hours after being fired by President Putin. Hundreds of flights in Russia were grounded over the weekend due to the risk of drone attacks from Ukraine. America's listening to Fox News.
Are you living with dry AMD? If so, you could be on the road to geographic atrophy, or GA, a condition that leads to retinal cell death and permanent vision loss. But with iZurvey, you can
slow it down, get it going slower.
iZurvey slows GA progression by targeting a key source of retinal cell death, which may help preserve your vision longer. iZurvey, or Avastin Captid Pagel, is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. iZurvey can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. iZurvey may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about iZurvey today.
iZurvey gets GA going slower.
Visit iZurvey.com. That's iZurvey.com. Paid for by Astellas Pharma.
From the News 11 Information Desk, I'm Manoel Tuyasosopo. A Yuma man has died following a heroic act to save two teenagers from drowning in the Colorado River. The Yuma County Sheriff's Office says they received a report of a possible drowning near Hidden Shores Resort Saturday around noon. YCSO says two teens were pulled off the shallows by the current near the Horseshoe Island sandbar, prompting the man to swim out and keep the teens afloat until a boat arrived. The man removed the teens from the waterway, but struggled to stay afloat before going underwater and not resurfacing. Several local agents assisted, and around 7:30 p.m., YCSO says the man, identified as 51-year-old Jeffrey Brady of Yuma, was found and pronounced dead on the scene. Now sheriffs are asking for any additional information regarding the case, as it remains under investigation. Catch us on the TV side on News 11 every weekday at 5, 6, and 10 p.m. for your latest local weather and sports news.
Summertime in Yuma means these temperatures are to be expected today. Sunny and 107, humid. 10 to 15 mile per hour winds today, down to 82 overnight tonight. 112, sunny, humid tomorrow. Light winds, 87 tomorrow night. Less humid, hotter Wednesday, 116 with sunshine.
Wildlife around the globe needs help. And when you help protect them, you become a friend of the San Diego Zoo Wildlife Alliance. A real friend. The kind of friend you want to thank, and not just with a card or a text, but with a song.
Thank you for being a friend.
Travel down the road and back again.
Your heart is true, you're a pal and a confidant.
Thank you for being a friend. Thank you for being a friend.
From your dear friends at the San Diego Zoo Wildlife Alliance, thank you for helping protect wildlife around the globe. Without you, there's no them. Learn more at sdzwa.org/friend.
Thank you for being a friend.
El Dorado Broadcasters and this station congratulate the newest Yuma County Chamber of Commerce members, Baskin-Robbins, Yuma Cardiac CT, Yuma FC, and Outreach Partners of Yuma. If you'd like to find out how you can become a member and join all the benefits membership brings, email Valeria@yumachamber.org. That's Valeria@yumachamber.org or call 928-782-2567.
The following program on 560 KBLU is a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
Welcome to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hanson, hosted by attorneys Sean Garner and Adam Hanson.
I like to do projects where I can look at the end of the week and say, I got that done, or at the end of the day. I can't go to sleep at night without getting something done, whether it's going out in the shop and switching out. Let's say I need to rotate the tires on my ATV. If I do that, then I can go to sleep well at night. But if I don't do something like that, if I just go home and veg, I can't go to sleep at night.
Huh. Well, yeah. It feels good to be productive, no question. It feels good. We tackled some projects this weekend, helped my brother build a shade structure.
How did that go?
Good. Looks good. We're going to test it out tomorrow, 4th of July at his house. Hot dogs under the new shade that we just built.
Yeah.
So that'll be nice. But I don't care to do those things.
What, build shades or do hot dogs under the shade?
Sweat, work.
I love to do that. I don't know. To me, being a lawyer and sitting in an office is really like the antithesis of what I naturally want to be doing. I want to be working with my hands. I want to be building something. I want to see a finished product. And obviously in the law, you don't see a whole lot of that. Thomas and I, or even Adam and I, will sit down and we'll work on something, some language in a trust, and get it just right.
Mm-hmm.
And we talk about, you know, wait till the client sees this. They're going to be blown away, right?
They're just going to carry you around the room
when
on their
the
shoulders.
Word gets out about how the finishing touches that we put on that paragraph.
That, therefore... It's just gonna hit.
Yes. Semicolon.
Semicolon. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard to use a semicolon.
Yeah.
I like the full colon myself.
We caught a should and changed it for a shall, and it's just gonna blow my
me. Can't stand me.
Oh no, yeah.
Like no.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Me. That's never gonna happen. Well, I have a list of to-dos that I was trying to get to as well. One of which is planning my dad's funeral.
Ooh.
And everybody asks, well, like, did he die? No, he's not dead yet.
Oh, okay.
And, I mean, I don't know if he's sick either. I mean, he claims he's not, but you never know. You know, he's at that age. He could kick over any time
so
now.
He's wanting to plan it? He's wanting
no,
to
No, I
it.
Want to because I'm going to be stuck with it anyway. So we had a client not too long ago where I was acting as a fiduciary for them. So they were in a nursing home and she, you know, she didn't have mental capacity. She didn't know what was going on. And so she was on hospice. Hospice gave our office a call and said, hey, you know, it's not going to be much longer. She probably got a couple days at best. And so we got our friend, Cesar Dominguez, do you know him, over at Desert Valley Mortuary. So we called him up. He said, yeah, I'll come over. And so we did the paperwork here in the office. Paperwork meaning you go, he's got, you know, here's casket options. Here's cremation, traditional burial, embalming, that kind of stuff, refrigeration, all these things. And so you go through the price list, you pick the things that you want. And by doing that ahead of time, it's already set up, number one. Number two, it's a lot cheaper. I would say probably a third of the price. And I didn't realize this until this conversation with Cesar. He was saying that when a person passes away, then it's an emergency if you haven't done it ahead of time. An emergency. So now everything is going to be a little bit more inflated, you know, when it comes to pricing and stuff, because now we got to get it done. You got this body over at the hospital that has to be released somewhere. And and so you only have a certain amount of time to deal with that body unless you have it set up.
How much they charge to hold a body?
I have it somewhere.
But is it a lot?
That, like, refrigeration.
Is it?
I have my binder right here. Look at this.
Whoa. Wow.
Yeah. It's official. I still ended up paying like
$1,000 a day or something.
No. I ended up paying, I think, $2,500 in total to set everything up.
Okay.
That's for
pretty good deal.
Casket and things like that. But you know, if you're gonna be cremated, it's gonna be a lot less than that. He had a price breakdown somewhere. I want to say maybe, I don't know, $25 a day or something like that.
That's it?
Interesting.
Yeah, you don't want to keep them too long. And
$25 a day, I could swing that for a while.
The biggest deal is, which I didn't realize till I went through this with Cesar, was that, so say you do this ahead of time, like we've done, like I chose Desert Valley Mortuary to do all this stuff. Mm-hmm. So we've already prepaid for all these services. Yep. When the time comes, if the hospital doesn't know that you've done that, then they will release the body to any mortuary in town. And maybe they have like maybe the person in charge that day has like their buddy or their go-to mortuary. And so the body goes to that mortuary. This might not be the one that you paid at. Mm. And so they can now cash in that. Usually use a life insurance policy to fund all this. So instead of me paying Desert Valley Mortuary directly, so we put together the whole thing, all these services we want to do. Here's your price. And now he's going to put together a life insurance policy on the person. So it'll pay out when that person dies. But yet I'm the owner of it, but he's the payee. So Desert Valley Mortuary is the
covers payee, the cost.
Right. So when he passes away, that insurance company pays straight to Desert Valley Mortuary. But that allows for, you know, if that person were to die anywhere, maybe he's up in North Dakota or he's in Texas, because it's tied to a life insurance policy, the mortuary over there can now get those funds to pay for the services and things like that.
So basically the first mortuary to claim it gets it.
Yes, exactly. Which is kind of shady, which, you know, people just don't know these things.
Because I remember back, I don't know, this was a big Dateline thing 20 years ago where they were interviewing or going after these funeral directors, and they were having prepaid funeral services that were non-transferable, and people would move, or they were taking the bodies and they were burying them in these mass graves, and they were not performing, you know, the services that they were paid to do. And so what that does with the insurance policy is it gets it away from being linked directly to a funeral home that may change ownership and the management may go downhill a little bit, or like you're different in a different location. So it gives you a lot more flexibility as to where to use that money. But at the same time, if you are dedicated to a funeral home that provides the services that you want to insure for your loved ones, then you may or may not get that one.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think it's pretty cutthroat. I told Cesar, like, this would be a sweet, like, reality TV show, because it sounds like it's pretty cutthroat in this industry.
I think
between morticians.
Well, and it's interesting.
Pun intended.
Yeah. I think there is a mortician reality show, but I think it's like in, they're like Samoan or something. And so it's the whole, you know, Polynesian culture and how they do everything. But I think there is a reality show of that.
How do they bury their dead?
Well, I think they bury them. But this more like follows the family. So it's like Duck Dynasty, but like morticians.
Oh, okay.
So it's like Death Dynasty. But it's something that, you know, I never thought about till I lost my wife.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, yeah, you're thinking about these things. We knew it was coming. So kind of like you, we were able to plan it, mm-hmm. explore, figure things out. We had a good family friend who was a mortician who mm-hmm. guided us.
Over at Johnson's, is that?
Edna's buried over at Johnson's, yeah. Mm. And so, but yeah, caskets, grave sites. Just talking to, you just guys just had Rachel on the show.
Yeah.
And so when she got home, we were talking about, you know, Brett, her husband, is buried in California. His family just had a grave marker. They live in Idaho, so they just had a grave marker installed there that matches the one that's in California. But you don't really think about those things at our age, and so it's left to sons and daughters to plan this stuff for moms and dads. And if you want to say in it like your dad, then you should probably be planning it. So Rachel and I are talking about, well, where do you want to be buried? And, you know, all of those things. But I didn't, you know, I kind of got a crash course in it. But yeah, it's not cheap. And when,
sorry to interrupt you.
No.
And if this is too personal, just say, I don't want to talk about it, but, did you prepay everything just out of curiosity? So you knew it was coming.
We knew it was coming. And so we bought the grave site. We bought a family plot.
Yeah.
And then we were able to explore caskets and things, prior, so it was like a package deal, so to speak. It included the grave markers, the headstone, but for like a family plot. So it's interesting. So I had to, I designed the headstone. No, you're good. I designed the headstone, and there's Edna's name and information on it. And next to it is my information,
mm-hmm.
except for
the expiration date.
The expiration date. Right. And so that's on the gravestone. And whenever I go there, I see that. And that's always a little jarring. You know, there's your name on the headstone, but you're not in there yet. And then on the ground is a placard, a grave marker, same thing. And so there'll just be a little plaque that gets screwed on, you know, when my expiration date comes. And then next to that is my parents.
Yeah.
Be buried there. So and so we did it early enough that Edna was able to, she wanted to go see, you know, where she was going to be buried. So reluctantly I took her. We weren't there very long, but yeah, she wanted
That's
to
heavy.
See that. Yeah, she wanted to see that. And I'm kind of glad she did, because it kind of, you know, if you die and you don't know where you're going to be buried, you don't know where you're buried, we assume that they live on. And so I'm sure you do know where you're buried, but you know, she was able to go and there's a bench and sit under a tree and okay, this is where it'll be. But it kind of helps me tie her to that spot, 'cause she was actually there
mm-hmm.
in life. So that's kind of cool. I kind of appreciate that she wanted to do that. I don't know, you know, if I would have wanted to do that. I certainly didn't think about it until I had to think about it. So it's good that you're thinking about it. There was a movie with Robert Duvall. It's a great movie. It's called Get Low. I don't know if you've seen it.
I've not seen
it. I've heard of it.
It's a good one. So this is a guy. It's set kind of in like the Old West. And he tells everyone, hey, I'm having my funeral. And so he decides, everyone in the town hates him. He's got a horrible reputation. He's like the town pariah. Like, nobody wants to talk to this guy. He's a cranky old mean man. But he decides, why should everybody else get to enjoy my funeral
mm-hmm.
and I don't get to enjoy it? So he basically has his funeral we talk about prepaying. He actually has a pre-funeral, throws a big deal to get people to come because everyone hates him. He says, I'm going to have a raffle, and whoever wins the raffle gets my land.
Oh, nice.
He's got 1,000 acres or 100, you know, he's got a cattle ranch, or I can't remember exactly what he has,
mm-hmm.
but that gets everyone to come out because they want to win his land. But in the process, he gets to people, you know, have to talk about him. Part of the deal is you have to say something about him and stuff. And so he's sitting there and all these people are saying things about him, and really good movie, interesting. They learn through what's said, maybe he's not who they assumed he was and those kinds of things. So it still has a good message, but yeah, maybe there's something to that, having, you know, having the celebration of life while you're alive.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, might be kind of interesting.
I think COVID really changed my perspective on weddings and funerals, because there were several there that I had to go. We didn't do the whole blowout thing for weddings. It was like in the backyard.
Uh-huh.
You just get in there, get it done. And yeah, that was fantastic.
Yeah.
Just come in, get the thing done and leave. Like, it was great. Same with the funerals. Like, we would go to the graveside service. I love graveside services. It wasn't this all day marathon where you go sit at the funeral for 2 hours, you know, and then you got to drive over to the cemetery and you got to do that whole thing. So it's a whole day event.
It's a lot.
I mean, I say it derogatorily, but, you know.
But then at the same time.
But at the same time, come on. I got things to do on my Saturday.
Well, that's life. You still have life to live. But when you're shopping, you know, for all this funeral stuff, it's difficult to, you love this person so much, you want this to be worthy of them and their memory, that almost it becomes, I don't care what it costs,
right,
you're just going to do it.
Yeah, and that's, you
know, and these guys know that, which is, it's a fine line. We were fortunate that we had, you know, a good family friend in the business that was able to guide us and kind of keep me.
The pitfalls.
Yeah, kind of, you know, let's do this. It'll save you some money and those. Because initially you're just like, you know, I'll sell my house, you know, take my car. This person's going to have, you know, the Taj Mahal, you know, and that's what you want. And so the reality is that's very expensive. Grave plots, I found out, are extremely expensive.
Yeah, it's real estate.
It's real estate. And then, you know, and it's forever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like it's going to be something else, you know.
I'm sure.
Except for in Poltergeist. They built a neighborhood on it. So.
True.
Maybe someday.
That cemetery.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind coming back and haunting some.
Coming up, more thought-provoking conversations on life, death, and the law right after this.
You've heard about Dreamlux, affordable luxury remodeling for baths and showers, but did you know Dreamlux is also your local choice for stunning, energy-efficient windows and doors? Right now, take advantage of our summer special. Get up to 20% off your entire project when you combine a shower or tub remodel with a window or door replacement. Locally owned and operated, Dreamlux is an ENERGY STAR partner with award-winning American-made products built to last. Call 928-236-5694 or visit dreamlux.us today. Dreamlux, affordable, local, luxurious.
If you're the owner and or operator of a local business and want to continue to hear the right talk, please consider advertising on KBLU. Your advertising dollars are the gasoline for the Clark, Kilmeade, Hannity, Beck engine. Without your support, the old 560 just won't roll. Reach out to like-minded folks, the patriots listening to this legendary radio station. When you do, you can invite new customers in and remind regulars to visit more often. And most importantly, keep the programming you love on 560 KBLU.
It's been a real journey since 2014 when I first had my injury. I realized that my home was just not working for me and that it was time to ask for help. Homestar Troops is really giving me my life back. The shower allows me to go in and turn around with my chair, pull down storage racks, automated door systems, hours of my morning given back to me. Adaptive sports are a huge part of my life, a huge part of my healing journey as well. Homestar Troops helped with making sure that I had a home gym so that I can continue to train. This past year, I was able to host Thanksgiving in my home. And it was the first time I was able to have my whole family in one place and I was able to contribute to the meal. There are a lot more veterans in need and Homestar Troops is going to be there to help them too.
Homes for Our Troops builds and donates specially adapted custom homes nationwide for severely injured post-9/11 veterans and enables them to rebuild their lives. Join our mission at hfotusa.org.
Think you need a new roof? Think again and save thousands.
855-ROOFMAX.
We'll help you put off the high cost of a roof replacement for at least 5 years.
Or 10.
Or sometimes even 15.
855-ROOFMAX.
We're America's most trusted roofer because we always try to save your roof rather than replace it.
855-ROOFMAX.
We'll restore your roof for a fraction of the cost of a new one. But don't wait. If your roof loses too much protective coating, it's too late.
So call 855-ROOFMAX.
560 KBLU.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
That, what you're talking about, that I'm so glad, that's one of the biggest things that I feel at peace about is having this done ahead of time, because when I told my wife what the plan was with my dad, she was like, oh, no, we're not going to just put him in that. And I'm like, no, we are. That's what he wants. I had the conversation with him.
Yeah.
He doesn't want this elaborate casket. He doesn't want any of that. He wants this. Yeah. And I was the same way. I'm like, what's the bare minimum? And I was like, well, okay, not that bare minimum. Once they tell you what the bare minimum is, it's like a cardboard box, you know?
Sure.
And it's not bad. Like, I'm okay with that, but I probably want to step up. I said, what about like the things from like Tombstone?
Yes.
You know, like pine box or something.
Yes.
It's like, oh, we call those toe squishers or something, toe kickers, because they're big up here and then they go they taper down. And so you have to really squeeze the feet in. I'm like, well, that's kind of gross. I don't want to, you know. Like, you have a square box made of pine?
No, I'd like to, and we always say it kind of jokingly, like, oh, at my funeral, I want this or that. And that was actually helpful that Edna was able to have input in her own funeral. She was able to pick who spoke. Mm-hmm. She was able to pick what we ate afterwards. You know, it was her deal. And I appreciated that, because had I not done it with her input, I probably would have done it differently. Not that she would have cared, likely, but... it gives you a little bit of extra comfort and peace knowing like we're doing what this person wanted us to do for them. So your dad doesn't want a big elaborate, you know, gold plated casket, you know? And so that is, you know, it's part of them. And then when you go visit that gravesite, they had some say in that, you know,
I think maybe there's a more like of, I don't know if peace, but a resolution that maybe might come from that, knowing when the whole process, and maybe you know this better than anybody, once you go through the whole process, having had set it up and then knowing that Edna had a role in all that, there's a little bit more of a finality, a rainbow maybe at the end of the whole journey.
A little bit of closure. And
in such a dark time, you still have the... the solace that this is how she wanted it. This is how this person wanted it. And we did it, right? The finality of all that.
Well, and it's not something that we do, right? You know, we just don't think about that.
You don't want to think about it.
You don't want to think about it. We don't want to think about it. You guys are in trust, so you're
thinking about it
all the time. You know, you're getting paid to think about it for people. But but most people, this is very foreign. This is very... I can't believe I'm here, looking at caskets and those kinds of things. It's very, jarring to go through that process. It's exhausting. There's a lot to it.
Yeah.
You know, transport, just everything. And so anytime you can have the mortuary, anybody say, we're going to handle that. You're like, where do I sign? We're going to take that over. 'Cause you're, you know, usually right out of a super, you know, low traumatizing thing. And then at the same time, you're having to make financial decisions and decorative decisions and invitation decisions and write things out. It's exhausting. It's an exhausting week or so. Yeah. Going through photos and putting together things and doing a program and all of that is not something that you want to do, but you have to do. And then you feel, when I was in it, I was like, okay, this has to be her. This has to represent her life. This is it.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to do this again every year. It's not a birthday. You know, this is it. You know, this is the summation of this person's existence, you know, in a 1 hour, 2 hour service.
Right.
And that's heavy. You know, that's heavy to deal with.
I think there could be, as you're saying that, I'm thinking to myself, well, it reminds me of kind of like, cramming for a test the night before,
mm-hmm.
You know, if you're going to use 1 hour of a service at your funeral to sum up who you were as a person, I think that's cramming it all in at the end.
It's hard.
Hopefully, the hope would be that you leave your mark on the world some other way.
Right.
Maybe that's with your kids and the wonderful people they turn out to be, or the crappy people they turn out to be. You know, that's the thing, is like, that's my challenge that I've been thinking about for the probably last year and a half, 2 years. The reality of my finality is like, well, people come and go all the time. Like, mm-hmm. they're here, they're gone. And two generations down, what mark did you make, if any,
right,
on this life?
Legacy is what you're talking about.
Yeah. So how do you do that in such a way that two generations down or three, your name is still there and hopefully for good, right?
Yeah,
I don't know.
We've talked about this a little bit in your role as an architect and leaving your mark on the town and being able to drive through. And you've talked about it in life, showing your kids and your grandkids, mm-hmm. hey, you know, I built that school, or I designed that school, and that building over there, that's me. And you kind of have a signature on the buildings that you do. There's some new construction that you want to put in to kind of bring a new flavor to mm-hmm. Yuma. Is that what you want to leave as your legacy? Is that, I suppose, as just, obviously we all want to be good people, right?
Sure.
And we want people to remember us for being generous and kind and all those things. But you also want to leave perhaps a mark on the society and the town that you left. And so tell me a little bit about that, because you've thought a lot about that.
Yeah,
I know we've talked about
it. It's one of the rewarding aspects of my career is that you are. I mean, these buildings, you know, these buildings could stand for who knows how long, you know, for, you know, 50 years, 60 years, maybe longer.
Or even the concept of putting it together, like the Sunflower District is a new concept.
Yeah, so the Sunflower District is, so Rachel and I, you know, we've got four kids, and so when our kids were teenagers, it was difficult to find a job, you know, mm-hmm. and it shouldn't be difficult to find a job as a teenager. It wasn't difficult for me in the, you know, early 90s. It wasn't difficult, but it's difficult now to find jobs. So we're like, we should create a place where teenagers can work and do all that. So that kind of started us thinking. And then Rachel talked a little bit about it last week on the show. We had a friend approach us, say, hey, I'm thinking about purchasing this franchise. And we thought, well, this would be a great thing, you know, for kid, you know, our kids won't benefit from it because they're older by the time this thing comes around. But it'll be a place for teenagers to work, you know, good kids to get experience and those kinds of things. We wanted to create that. And so we started. And so our friend came and said, hey, I'm thinking about buying this franchise of this company called Twisted Sugar. And we said, you know, let's try it out. So if you don't know what Twisted Sugar is, twistedsugar.com is a, imagine like Swig. So they're these franchise of soda shops, you know, where they'll have hundreds of different drink combinations, but then combine that with like a crumble. So cookies, gourmet cookies, delicious cookies. So we went, it's okay. Well, that sounds like something, there isn't anything like that in Yuma. Sounds like something that would be received well. It's, you know, it's quick, it's easy, drive through, low price. It's hot. People want to drink. They get their Starbucks in the morning. They get their soda for their afternoon kick and mm-hmm. kind of refresher.
Yeah.
So we thought it'd be well received. So then we went and tried them all. We went to SoDelicious. We went to Swig. We went to Twisted Sugar. We went to, they're all over the Fizz. There's several franchises of these things. And then we went and tried all the different cookie shops. You know, Crumble is kind of the leader, but their main competitor, and actually has grown faster than Crumble, is Twisted Sugar. So we tried one of those. Far better cookie. We're excited about it. It's going to be fun. So we also wanted to bring something to Yuma that was new, but had some new energy, something fun and exciting. We have plenty of nail salons. We have plenty of taco shops. We have plenty of legal offices. We have plenty of, you know, the thing,
pawn shop,
the usual stuff. Yeah, the usual stuff. We didn't want to bring the usual stuff. You know, another restaurant that kind of serves the same thing. You know, we have plenty of chicken, you know, tender shops in town. Those kind of things. We said we want something new. And so
that's risky, though.
It's a little risky, I mean, but that makes
new
it
could be received
exciting.
Really well.
Yeah.
And it's always puzzling to me which restaurants do well. Like, for example, had several come in. There was Broken Yolk that came in, and it died out pretty quick. And then we had Outback Steakhouse that was here, and it was here for a little while, maybe 10 years.
I miss Outback.
And then it died out.
Yep.
And I don't understand if it was mismanagement or if it was just a lack of enthusiasm around the type of food that they prepared. I don't know. With Outback, I tend to think that it couldn't have been the food because it was always busy.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
I think
anyways,
it was a corporate decision. But
yeah, and then you got these places like, Mr. G's.
Yeah.
Right? And people are shipping that across the country because it's so popular. And how do you get something that just works its way into the fabric of the society where people have to have it and they're lining up for it? These Dairy Queens, there's always a line of cars for these Dairy Queens. And they're usually not in the nicest locations or facilities, but people are still lining up for them.
Yeah.
And so
horrible service.
It takes forever. It's like how long to fill that cone, right? Or blend that blizzard. Anyway, how are you going to make yours so it's the Dairy Queen or the Mr. G's?
Yeah, so one is I think what we struggle with in Yuma is it's not a – although there is wealth in this community, it's not a wealthy community. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So the price point needs to be at a point where – people can, from all different demographics, can enjoy it. You know, the sit-down restaurant, not everyone can enjoy that all the time. The quick, you know, fast food restaurant does better because people can get that all the time and can usually afford that. So the price point's got to be good, which sodas are inexpensive. You know, it's a few dollars. A cookie's a few dollars. So you can get in and out of there for under $6. And have a drink that you can nurse for an hour or more. You can have cookies, so you can get a little treat. There are some healthy things there too, so you can't swing all sugar. You know, you got to have some healthy choices as well.
Do you really?
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, I guess some people still prefer a banana to a cookie, but. I don't know any of those people,
okay.
But,
yeah.
They're out there, I'm sure. So there's that, but then also kind of the sabor, the flavor of Yuma, is something that we think, this can work with. So, when you have seasonings like tahine and those
which I
types
tasted
of things,
the first time 2 weeks ago,
lime, coconut. So these are all things that I think we'll weave in pretty successfully. To our local, you know, flavor. Every town has kind of like a flavor profile. You know, you got your barbecue towns, you got your steak towns.
Yeah.
You know, Yuma is a taco town. That's what we are. So we need to embrace that, but you need dessert after your taco. So this can weave in with that. And it's quick, accessible. We'll have a drive-through. So it'll actually be right across the street from the Dairy Queen on Avenue B.
Mm-hmm.
Will be our first location. Construction should start in a couple months. You'll start seeing signs going up.
How many people will you employ?
So when you buy the franchise, you get with that, you get, they consult with you, they plan with you. So they know kind of what we'll need.
Mm-hmm.
But I imagine we'll need, you know, a dozen or so employees. We'll need a head baker. You know, these cookies are made from scratch. These are not frozen balls that show up that we just throw in the oven that get shipped from Michigan or someplace. These are made from scratch, homemade everyday cookies. I think there's 40 options. There's kind of 25 or so that are the mainstays that we always have. And then the signature cookie, which is delicious. It's a sugar cookie with coconut icing and lime, a fresh lime wedge. And when you squeeze that lime on that coconut, it's delicious. which I'd never thought about lime going with that, but it's awesome. It tastes so good. So those ones will be there all the time. And then there'll be like monthly ones or seasonal ones that come and go. But you can buy one or you can buy dozens, you know, it's kind of scalable.
Okay.
So it works on just
a birthday party.
Yeah. It works on like a large scale. If you have got a whole event coming up all the way down to, hey, I just want to swing through there and I don't want to get out of my car and go get a soda.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to swing through the drive-thru and get a soda. My favorite's the Raspberry Dream, which is a Dr. Pepper. I go with diet, of course, to help a little bit. Diet Dr. Pepper, raspberry puree, so real fruit, just kind of smashed, you know, in there. And then coconut cream. And, yeah, it's delicious.
I'd love to try that.
Yeah, it's real good. Well, you'll get to. So that should open in the spring. So we're excited about that. And then our second location, we're currently working on negotiations for a location in the foothills,
which will open next year. Right next door to our office.
We're working on that. That's one of our options that we're looking at. But, you know, building and planning and design takes a lot of time. So when you see a new restaurant, like right next to my office, they're putting up that Bubba's 33.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's going up. And, you know, I know what it takes, you know, years usually to get to the point that is at. So when you're exploring the location, is that the right town to open this restaurant in or this franchise?
Coming up, more thought-provoking conversations on life, death, and the law right after this.
Hey, it's Mike Rowe, and if you want to do business with a company that actually stands for something, switch to Pure Talk. I did. Sure, I appreciate being on America's most dependable 5G network with unlimited talk and text for just $20 a month, but what I really appreciate is Pure Talk's commitment to our military and to our skilled workforce. That matters to me. Save 50% off your first month when you dial #250 and say keyword Mike Rowe. Pure Talk, a wireless company that actually stands for something.
Are you looking for more in this world? Are you ready for something bigger? Then we are looking for you. The big-hearted, the bold, the messy and the gutsy. The teachers, the growers, the builders. The skilled, the sharers, the change makers. We need you. We are the Peace Corps. In more than 60 countries, we go all in and all out. We are volunteers, partners, communities, working together, living together, bringing our experience, passion, and joy to building a better world together. From tackling climate change in Mexico to keeping kids healthy in Kenya, from sustainable farming in the Philippines to education in Kosovo, we learn more, give more, share freely, and serve boldly. Are you ready to tackle the tough stuff, to go the distance to make a difference? Then we have a place where you belong. Join us at peacecorps.gov.
In tough times, it can be difficult to know where to turn. If you or someone you know is looking for help, the Yuma Community Food Bank is here if you need a hand. We provide food and other resources to families, seniors, and individuals in need. We are open Monday through Friday. All you need to receive a food box is a photo ID with your current address. Visit our website at yumafoodbank.org for more information. The Yuma Community Food Bank also accepts donations in the form of non-perishable food, monetary donations, and volunteer help. You can choose to donate or advocate. You can choose to volunteer or raise awareness. You can choose to help end hunger. Call us anytime, 928-343-1243. Visit our main campus, located at 2404 East 24th Street, or use our food locator map online at yumafoodbank.org.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
What's Bubba's 33?
It's owned by the same group that owns Texas Roadhouse.
Oh, okay.
And so it's kind of, it's got kind of a Buffalo Wild Wings feel, kind of a sports bar feel, but it's like home cooking barbecue food, I think.
Okay.
I've never been to one, but it is a, you know, it's a chain. It's big and the building's huge. But it takes years to get to that point. you know? So when you talk about, you know, hey, we're going to open this or open that, it doesn't just pop up, you know, within a month you're up and selling cookies.
Yeah.
You know, this is something that we've been working on. Our friends, which brought us the idea, have since moved away. You know, he got a job offer somewhere else. So we're on our own with this, which we weren't expecting. But we're excited about it. Rachel's going to be busy because she's going to kind of run it, you know, but I'll be, of course, there to support and help and eat cookies.
You've got that cooking, but you've also got the Sunflower District, which is something.
So the Sunflower District is a project that is also in the works. It's on the boards, as they say. But that is Yuma's first indoor food hall. So that will be built just north of Harkins Theater.
So we got the mall, but we missed out on the food court portion of the mall where you go into this big open
space.
Yeah,
we don't have a food court like you had growing up in the indoor mall.
So you're going to do just the food court portion of it by the mall.
It's by the mall. It's connect right off the parking lot of Harkins. We'll have spots for, I think the latest design has 18 vendors. So those will be lease spaces that we'll lease out to local vendors. We'll have a call to food artists soon.
The difference is that in the food court is they typically have chains, whereas what you're going to have is
we
homegrown individuals.
Yes, we want to support local restaurateurs. So the deal with, there's a lot of people in Yuma that have a lot of great ideas, and there's a lot of rich culinary people here that enjoy different culinary experiences, but it takes a lot of money. It's hard. Mm-hmm. Banks don't loan to a startup restaurant. That's why you see the success of food trucks. But even a food truck is several hundred thousand dollars to outfit a food truck.
Yeah.
To build a brick and mortar store, you know, millions of dollars.
Yeah.
So if somebody's got a great idea for a food item, something that will enrich Yuma, that will lift the kind of the culinary one note that Yuma has existed in for such a long time, we want to foster that. So
we have
we're going
to similar to it, an outdoor version.
There is an outdoor one, Eddie's in San Luis, which is great.
Well, then there's the one, you know, it was at the old mall off of 32nd Street.
Friday Night Munchies or something.
Yes, and
like
then
that.
They did it.
Yeah, it's loaded and packed, and, mm-hmm. and there's different vendors that come and go. And so what we want to do is kind of capture that vibe.
Yeah,
but give it clean it up a little bit. Make it an experience indoor. We'll have a bar. We'll have live music. We'll have outdoor gaming areas, those kinds of things to play games, to hang out. Mm.
A Dave and Buster's type games?
No.
What type of games are we talking
dragging
about?
Us through the gutter here. Come on now.
I don't know. What other games are there?
No, lawn games, things that you would play with your friends while you're munching. You might be having
cornhole.
You know, having something. Maybe. I hear you're good at that, so we'll see. But you know, so we'll have different vendors, we'll have the bar. We'll have it'll have indoor dining, but the idea is that you could go and order from, you might want some kind of wood fire pizza. Mm. Your son might want some kind of ramen. Your wife might want some kind of pasta, something like that. You can all walk into this one singular place, order what you want, but then sit down family style and enjoy it while maybe live music plays and those kinds of things.
That's what we do at the fair.
Similar. Yeah. So you're kind of capturing that kind of. Because here's the deal with going out to eat.
All, you know?
You know, eating out typically is a positive experience. It's typically something special, date night. Maybe it's a celebration of some sort. It's always, you know, typically eating out is wrapped around some kind of positive experience, some kind of positive vibe. And we want to build on that. We want to create a place that's exciting to go to, but also it's got to be good. The food's got to be good. So we're going to do a call to artists. We have a few local vendors that we have in mind. Mm-hmm. We want to court to go in there. there's a
you
couple.
You don't want to say him over the
not
air?
Not yet. No, oh, okay. Not yet. So, but we want something different. We want something different offerings. We don't. One of my problems with the Friday Night Munchies is it was kind of a lot of the same things. So you've got this guy selling tacos, this guy's selling birria, this guy's selling roasted corn, and then you walk over to the next lane and it's tacos and it's birria and it's corn, but maybe they're seasoned a little different. We're not looking for anything like that. We're looking for cultural foods, exciting foods, different foods, things that people may say, hey, I've never, you know, I love Chinese dumplings. Where do you get those in town? You know, there might be one or two places in town that have, but they're fantastic and delicious. And everyone who eats them is like, why don't I eat this? This is awesome. You know? So, there's gotta be people in town that want to bring this, but just don't have the funds. So this
far away is this project from being,
it's a couple of years. Yeah. It's a couple of years away.
Okay.
But like I said, it's years in the making. Getting the land, getting the zoning, getting the permit.
I was
going to
ask if it's already zoned. I mean, I'm sure getting it's the commercial.
Yeah,
maybe
so
it's ag.
It's ag. It needs to be rezoned. It's the city's already done the plan amendment so that it's allowed to be rezoned. We just have to pull the trigger on it, and that'll happen when we submit plans.
You don't want
to
pull the trigger too quick because the taxes are going to just skyrocket.
Well, yeah, you don't want to do it until you're ready to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so and which we're finding out at the Twisted Sugar location. So that was, you know, a certain tax rate. And then as soon as you put a shovel in the ground, it's like, guess what? You know, triple,
yeah,
triple your taxes.
Which is interesting because Chase, your brother, has been on the show several times, and he's been very adamant about that formula that the city applies to different improving land and zoning land. He said, why should I have to pay more because I'm contributing more to the city? Why should I have to pay more because I'm building a nicer house than the person next to me? That doesn't make any sense. Just
rent.
Because I decide.
You're renting your land from,
yeah,
the city, basically.
And as I improve the land, it's not the city as a landlord improving it and increasing the rent. It's me improving the land, and then the city gets to increase the rent,
yeah,
which is the taxes.
Yeah.
And so Chase is pretty fired up about that, and I think he's got a very good point. I mean, you want to incentivize people to create and improve their land, but the city, the government in general, does the complete opposite. The more productive you are, the more successful you are, the higher tax bracket you're going to be in, the higher property tax zone you're going to be in.
Yeah, it's odd because if you were to explain it to me, like, hey, you're going to buy this land, you're going to develop this land, and then forever you're going to pay these taxes on it, when it's not every year you're not refreshing and renewing the land. You know, it's a one-time deal. So I think we found out, so I purchased this land where we're going to build the first Twisted Sugar location from a good friend, Justin Hale, who has, you know, he's got plans for a fantastic gym there. But there was this strip of land that he didn't quite have any use for. It was a little extra. So I had this idea and proposed it to him. And he was on board because he's all for making Yuma better and let's bring fun things. And if you've got a fun thing to bring, yes, you know, let's do this deal. So I appreciate him being open to the idea of selling a sliver of that land to me. But we found out that as soon as we, just on paper, we didn't do anything to the land. It's still just vacant dirt. But all we did was we drew a line. We recorded a split from the property that I'm buying from him. That's all we did. That's all we did. Boom. Taxes went up four times.
Yeah.
We didn't do anything. We didn't improve it. We didn't add streets. We didn't add parking. We didn't add lighting. We didn't connect to sewer systems. We didn't connect to water. Nothing. We drew a line on a piece of paper, four times more money. So we went and fought that. Justin and I went and fought that with the Board of Supervisors. They agreed that should wait until there's actual development on the land. So,
but you have to do that in every case,
correct?
You didn't win it for the people of Yuma,
no,
city at all.
Our land, That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it, and I understand it's difficult for the assessors. How do you put value on things that don't sell for 50 years? How do you, you know, if you can only change the tax value as the property changes hands, you're real limited on how you can generate revenue for the city, how you can, in the meantime, streets might widen, schools might go in next door, which generate more traffic, more use of the land around you, but you haven't sold your land in 70 years. So there's a lot of places in town where the taxes have not increased or been reassessed for 40, 50 years. You know, yet these people are living there. The city's growing around them, but they're not contributing any more towards that, towards the infrastructure of the city. My ideal situation is,
yeah, and I would argue, yes and no, they are and aren't.
Yeah.
Because the if they are making that land productive, then there is going to be commercial transactions occurring, and that's what produces revenue, like a use tax. You know, anytime you sell a cookie, you pay
There's a city and city sales tax. So
absolutely,
if I build something that brings in a lot of volume and brings a lot of tax dollars to the city, that should be the incentive to
the city should be encouraging that.
Right.
And you're already contributing back to the city for the other infrastructure modifications that need to be made for that. But they're double dinging you by taxing you for the improvement that you made to the land and for the services that you're selling and the goods that you're producing.
Which I agree in the sense that we should be kicking in for our city. We should be supporting our city. We want our city to grow. We want our city to be beautiful.
Just which what, fire what was the most fair way to do it, though?
Well, what's the fair way to do that is really the argument. I would never argue that there should not be any property taxes. I think
really
there should be. But I agree with...
Well, then you don't own your property.
Well, what you guys landed on when you had my brother on was there should be a value, a tax value assessed to that piece of land. And once that's paid off, no more. So a cap on that, I think, is fair. Or a sales tax on the transaction of the land. There's actually a tax on the purchase.
Okay.
And I would be in favor of one of those two options, a cap or a transaction tax that's, you know, maybe some percentage or some fixed amount on that. But this ongoing forever paying rent on property that I own free and clear. I own this dirt free and clear.
Yeah.
Where we're going to build this building.
No, you don't.
I still got to write a check.
Yeah. You don't own it because stop paying the taxes and we'll see who owns it.
Yeah, exactly.
We got to go.
Happy 4th of July, guys.
Happy 4th of July.
Yeah, we didn't even talk about things I hate.
Oh, well, let's do it. We got a little time.
You got a little time?
Oh, no. We don't have to get into hate. You know,
okay.
We're talking about 4th of July and the country. I love hot dogs. I hate a hot dog that's not all beef.
Yes.
I'll tell you that right now.
Absolutely.
100%. Put me on record.
Hebrew all National.
Yep. All beef.
Okay.
So eat all beef for this 4th of July.
Or you're not American.
You're not American.
Thanks, Chris.
Yep, thanks, guys.
If you have questions or want to know more about something that was discussed today, please call the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hanson at 928-783-4575 or visit yumaestateplanning.com.
All right, do-it-yourselfer. You've got the idea, and you got your building supplies at Southwest Lumber.
That's right.
Now, all you need is a bunch of expensive tools to get the job done.
Oh, that's right.
And you know just the place to rent them. Southwest Lumber, your home for everything home improvement. Southwest Lumber has half-day to multiple-day rentals available on just about anything you need to finish the job. Rent equipment and tools on Saturday and Sunday. It's free. Stop in today at 1917 South Avenue B in Yuma. Southwest Lumber, ready for everything.
The preceding show on 560 KBLU was a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters LLC, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
This is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.